of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for Not Compromised news, views, poetry, and music.
We're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, softening everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done.
First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks have information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please get a pencil and a pen or some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in the Dragon at a road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, get them in as soon as you can, and keep your pencil and paper handy, and listen for the contact information later on in the show. As always, we start off with announcements, and the big announcement here for tonight is, of course, Earth Vision 2000. This is the Santa Cruz Environmental Film and Video Festival and Competition. It's being held November 11th through 14th, but that isn't the real announcement. The real announcement is that if you want to participate in Earth Vision 2000, you need to get your entry in by the end of August. Eligibility are all environmental films and videos that did not win a first-place award in either Earth Vision 1998 or Earth Vision 1999. And there's a number of categories. There's a $35 fee, of course, and there's some format stuff you need to know about. But basically, what you need to do is to write to Earth Vision 2000, care of Community Television of Santa Cruz County, 816 Pacific Avenue, Santa Cruz, California, 95060. Once again, that's Community Television of Santa Cruz, Incorporated, 816 Pacific Avenue, Santa Cruz, California, 95060. You can always send email to earthviz@cruzio.com. That's earthviz@cruzio.com. And again, you need to have your entry in by September 1st. That includes the video, too, and the $35 and the entry fee. All needs to be here by the end of August. Other announcements. The cutting has got to stop in Canada. It is legal for a company to buy 5,000 acres of forested land and clear-cut all of it right down to bare earth without regulation or regard for nearby landowners, residents, wildlife, or watersheds. That's what's happening right now on Salt Spring Island, a bucolic, beautiful paradise on the west coast of Canada. Despite road blockades, protesters chaining themselves to huge logging trucks, political and international pressure, Texana Land Corporation continues to clear-cut lands which contain sensitive, rare, and endangered ecosystems. And here's a new thing that Uncle Dennis hasn't heard about. The Save Salt Spring Campaign Fund has been created to buy back some of the most sensitive lands from Texada. On August 9th, a benefit concert will be held at the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver, British Columbia, with all proceeds going to this fund. All performers are donating their time and talents. The Randy Bachman Band, of course, formerly of Bachman Turner Overdrive, Chilliwack, The Grapes of Wrath, Simon Collins, that's Phil Collins' sons, Tara McLean, and Tall Bachman. But that's not the most unique thing about it. There's been a lot of environmental benefit conferences, concerts over the year. What's unique about this one is it's going to be on the Internet. This one-of-a-kind concert will be broadcast live on the Internet using Apple's QuickTime streaming technology so that anyone with a computer and a link to the Internet will be able to watch and listen to the concert anywhere in the world. Best of all, donations to the Save Salt Spring Campaign Fund can be made online while the concert is being webcast. Credit card donations will be taken, as well as pledges to be sent by regular post. If you'd like more information, contact Clear at SaveSaltSpring.com, their webpage. And there's no triple W in there. It's just SaveSaltSpring.com. And the webcast will be at www.SaveSaltSpringBenefit.net. Once again, www.SaveSaltSpringBenefit.net is where you're going to go to listen and watch to that concert. Once again, August 9th, 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Also coming up is the 16th Annual San Gregorio Coastal Protection Music Festival. This is held in San Gregorio, California, and it's taking place on the weekend of August 15th from 10 a.m. to sundown each day. If you are a artist and a craftspeople, you'd better get in touch with them really quickly, but tickets are available at the door if you just want to attend. All proceeds benefit the San Gregorio Environmental Resource Center, Coastside Habitat Coalition, and the Committee to Save Pescadero. If you want to contact them, call area code 650-726-2499. That's 650-726-2499, or email to sgerc@sanmateo.org. That's sgerc@sanmateo.org. Excuse me. Once again, the 16th Annual San Gregorio Coastal Protection Music Festival, August 12th and 13th in San Gregorio, California. Also coming up, August 9th through 14th, is the Rainforest Action Network's 12th Annual Chautauqua. This is 5 days of campaign strategy sessions, skills training, and fireside fun. It's being held in a meadow in the Massachusetts Swift River Valley, half an hour from Worcester and just over an hour from Boston. If you'd like more information about getting there, send mail to Ran Chautauqua, Chautauqua, 221 Pine Street, number 500, San Francisco, California, 94104. Once again, that's Ran Chautauqua, 221 Pine Street, number 500, San Francisco, California. And there is a rather substantial donation to get into that one. For more information, 617-787-3556. That's 617-787-3556, or bostonrag_2000@yahoo.com. That's bostonrag_2000@yahoo.com. Once again, the Rainforest Action Network's 12th Annual Chautauqua, August 9th through 14th. And that's back east. The Anarchist Conference is being held, I believe, near L.A. And they're not going to tell anybody where the conference site is until August 10th. So you'll need to go to a check-in location. The check-in location is 2501 West 6th Street in Los Angeles, California. Once again, the Anarchist Conference, August 11th, 12th, and 13th, I believe. That's right, August 11th, 12th, and 13th in L.A. But to check in, you need to go to 2501 West 6th Street in Los Angeles, California, and they'll tell you where to go from there. All right, if you need directions, go to their website, naac.8m.com. That's naac.8m.com. All right, August 14th, organized for the National Forest Protection Day in your community. Join with forest activists in Los Angeles and across the country in a day dedicated to telling our elected officials that our forests are protected and that it is their job to protect forests, and that forest advocates will hold them accountable for their forest protection efforts. And forest activists have declared Monday, August 14th, the first day of the Democratic National Convention, a National Forest Protection Day. In L.A., forest activists will join with thousands of others in a march for human needs, not corporate greed. And get your ass to L.A. for that one. Or you can organize an event in your area, hold a forest protection march and rally, hold a teach-in on forests and the 2000 elections, hold a forest protection press conference, hold a protest at a local Gore, Bush, DNC, or RNC headquarters, engage in direct action, of course, meet with local elected officials, and join with labor, human rights, women's, and other groups. If you want more information, contact Antonia at AmericanLands.org. That's A-N-T-O-N-I-A at AmericanLands.org. Her number, 202-210-6172. That's 202-210-6172. And August 18th is the Day of Action Against Monsanto, taking place in St. Louis. Speakers include Bill Christensen of the National Family Farm Coalition, Rhonda Perry of the Missouri Rural Crisis Center, Tammy Shea of the Gateway Green Alliance, Brian Tokar of the Institute for Social Ecology. He was invited. That means that they don't know if he's going to show up. Biotech Bob Shapiro of the Monsanto Corporation. Maybe he'll show up. Once again, Mobilization for Safe Food and Family Farms, Stop the Corporate Takeover, Day of Action Against Monsanto, August 18th in St. Louis. If you want more information, contact Morage, that's M-O-R-A-G-E, care of the Confluence, P.O. Box 63232, St. Louis, Missouri, 63163. Once again, that's Morage, care of Confluence, P.O. Box 63232, St. Louis, Missouri, and the zip 63163, or you can visit their webpage. This is a strange webpage, www.missouri.edu/tilde1dd0aa. Once again, that's www.missouri.edu/tilde1dd0aa, or send email to morage!@unbounded.com. That's morage!@unbounded.com. Looking for a concert by Diane Peterson, August 18th at the Berkeley Ecology Center in Berkeley, California. There'll be a Big Mountain presentation, songs from Diane Patterson, a slideshow and speakers. That's at 2530 San Pablo Avenue in Berkeley, Friday, August 18th at the Berkeley Ecology Center. Diane Patterson performing, and again at August 19th, that's the Saturday, at the Fox and Goose in Sacramento. The address, 10th and R Streets in downtown Sacramento, California. And then, I'll read that later. More stuff. Support proposed marine reserve shrimp closures in Texas. The Texas Park and Wildlife Department has proposed closing the South Texas coast to shrimp trawling as a key element of its revised shrimp management regulations. This is the first step in creating a Kemp's Ridley Marine Reserve. Texas Governor George W. Bush and the State Wildlife Commission need to hear from Texans and people around the world on the proposal, or the proposal could be killed by the shrimp industry. They must hear from us and see a huge show of support before the final Texas Parks and Wildlife Department public hearing on Thursday, August 31st in Austin, Texas. Once again, please write or email Governor George W. Bush and support the proposed marine reserve. That's a shrimp closure in Texas. Even if you have written or emailed him before, it's time to do it again. Once again, the deadline, August 31st, 2000, which is the hearing date in Austin, Texas. That's a Thursday for you who are looking around at your calendars. The address, George W. Bush and Office of the Governor, P.O. Box 12428, Austin, Texas, 78711. Once again, the address, Governor George W. Bush, Office of the Governor, P.O. Box 12428, Austin, Texas, 78711. Or you could, of course, write him an email at bushhq@georgewbush.com. That's bushhq@georgewbush.com. And, of course, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission. Their chairman is the Honorable Lee Marcel Bass, Parks and Wildlife Commission, 201 Main Street, Fort Worth, Texas, 76102. Once again, the Honorable Lee Marcel Bass, chairman of the Parks and Wildlife Commission of Texas, 201 Main Street, Fort Worth, Texas, 76102. For more information, contact the Sea Turtle Restoration Project at their webpage, www.seaturtles.org. That's www.seaturtles.org. And go to our Marine Reserve campaign page, they say. Let's move into activist news. Greenpeace activists protesting against deforestation say they have prevented a ship from unloading Amazon rainforest timber in the French port of Honfleur. A Greenpeace spokesman said the activists climbed on the harbor cranes to stop the unloading of the Cyprus-registered Aquitania, which carried timber mostly from Brazil. The activists wanted importers to make a commitment to stop buying timber from the Amazon forest, the spokesman said. They're also calling for all countries to set up strict import checks to bar any timber not offered by independent forestry bodies such as the Forest Stewardship Council. And in the early morning of the 3rd of July, the ALF, that's the Animal Liberation Front, sent fire to two generators, the power supply for the circus, a tractor, and part of a tent and a truck. This is at the Austrian National Circus. The damage was done, estimated at about 1 to 1.5 million Austrian shillings, that is. Circus Louis Nie, the Austrian National Circus, is one of the two last circuses in Austria having wildlife animal performances in their program. During this year's tour, Knie was permanently picketed by animal rights and animal welfare activists. At nearly every stop, the circus made demos, leafleting, and street theater, and other activities took place. The circus staff's way of dealing with these protests was violence. More than once, protesters have been abused or beaten up by Nie Sr. and his co-workers. The campaign approached the climax when ALF activists placed 7 incendiary devices when Knie was in Linz. 2 failed to ignite. However, this was a hard hit for Austria's national circus, as he already approached bankruptcy. Police have investigated harder than ever, and so far, two animal rights activists have been questioned and a home was searched, but no arrests have been made. ALF claimed responsibility for this action and wrote, and this is a rough translation, "Animal performances are inevitably connected with animal abuse. To force animals to the required stunts, they suffer physical and psychological violence through hitting with posts or bars, deprivation of food, or chaining to break their will. On the morning of the 3rd of July, an attempt was made to damage the Circus Louis Nie severely. A principle of the worldwide acting Animal Liberation Front is to never endanger humans or animals through their actions," and it signed the ALF. And in other European ALF actions, a couple of women have been arrested and sent to prison. Lindsay VK and Anja H. were charged with several fire attacks against McDonald's and the meat industry. Their arrest was made after a national television program on Canvas. They appeared disguised as ALF militants. The information they had was taken from the Internet. Both of them were and still are active in the bicycle guerrilla Spock and Tinrod, which is apparently similar to the critical mass rides all over North America. These folks regularly occupy crossroads at busy parts of town and campaign against car-congested streets and are eager to make in-town public transports free of charge. Anja H. is no longer being charged for the ALF fire attacks. Nevertheless, Lindsay VK will be, unless she withdraws one statement. The court in Antwerp now has linked the ALF actions with attacks with an action at Spoke and Cogwheel. In order to do this, one of their actions was filmed by ATV, a local TV station. Police confiscated the videotape and have been able to identify a few of the people appearing on the film. And let's move to good news. The Spirit of the Sage Council has challenged a subsequent EIR under the California Environmental Quality Act. For those of you from California may know the risks of such a challenge. They are very difficult to win. Anyhow, the developer agreed to give us more habitat protection. Yeah, I know mitigation often sucks, so before anyone jumps to unfounded conclusions, the habitat that will be developed is surrounded on 3 sides by other development on a road. The 135 acres we got in addition to the 85 acres is contiguous with a 762-acre reserve and blocks any future development and roads into Etowanda Canyon, which is in the San Bernardino National Forest in California, where there are still bighorn sheep, wintering grounds, and waterfalls. All right, I want to thank the Spirit of the Sage Council for that one. And other Spirit of the Sage Council news, on the Honorable Judge Edwards handed down his court decision that the County of San Bernardino and the Ling Yen Mountain Temple had violated the California Environmental Quality Act by failing to perform adequate biological surveys and studies, mitigation, and an environmental impact report. The San Bernardino County, California Board of Supervisors had approved the Chinese Temple project in 1998, regardless of concerns expressed by the Spirit of the Sage Council, the California Department of Fish and Game, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, that the development would negatively impact rare, threatened, and endangered species and their habitats. The Riverside in alluvial sage scrub, sycamore wildlands, and riparian stream beds. The county approved the project under a negative declaration that no significant biological resources would be impacted. The truth be known, numerous documents and statements made to the county supervisors and planning commission provided facts to the contrary. Known for their pro-development stance, in a region where urban sprawl is threatening to creep into foothill canyons of the National Forest, the county supervisors blatantly ignored recommendations made by the state and federal wildlife agencies to have the project redesigned to avoid impacts to the sage habitat. The critical 22-acre parcel at the mouth of Morse Canyon supports a myriad of wildlife, including endangered California gnatcatchers, San Bernardino kangaroo, rats, deer, bobcats, coyotes, and raptors such as golden eagles, red-tailed hawks, and kestrels. It is also situated within a natural wildlife movement corridor, which the Sage Council claimed would fragment the contiguous alluvial fan sage scrub between the canyons to the east and the west. Moving north to Oregon, we have an update from the Cascadia Forest Alliance. Unbeknownst to the U.S. Forest Service until a Friday afternoon, I guess it was a week ago, activists with Cascadia Forest Alliance erected two more tree sits in Units 13 and 14 of the Eagle Creek timber sale, and this is despite 24-hour surveillance by the U.S. Forest Service law enforcement officers. Activists suspended two tree sits, one 100 feet above the ground and the other 70 feet. Cargo nets were suspended at three to support activists living in the new tree sits. And let's move on with more news here. From Eagle Creek, environmental activist Michael Scarpetti started his protest in the forest, and he's headed back to the woods to serve his sentence for a contempt conviction. Scarpetti, 26, who prefers to be known as Tree Arrow, had been among the environmentalists who had camped out at the Eagle Creek area near Mount Hood in an effort to block logging there. Scarpetti later spent 11 days on a narrow ledge of the downtown U.S. Forest Service regional headquarters, also to protest the Eagle Creek timber sale. Last Thursday, Multnomah County Circuit Judge Robert P. Jones ordered Scarpetti to serve 2 weeks in a forest work camp, where he'll likely do things such as clearing brush and sprucing up trails. The judge also ordered Scarpetti to serve 6 months on probation and to pay restitution to the office building owner, the amount to be determined at a hearing to be scheduled. Scarpetti had pleaded guilty to the contempt charge for his ledge sitting. And an update so far from Eagle Creek. So far, no logging has occurred since the Forest Service cleared the roads of protesters on July 7th. This is because the timber company involved closed its mill down last year and so far has not found another mill interested in buying the trees from Eagle Creek. Activists remain camped in the area, both in a 16-month-long tree sit in Old Growth Unit 2 and in two new tree sits we just heard about in Units 13 and 14. On July 31st, the Forest Service began pulling out from its three-week-long occupation of the Eagle Creek area, an occupation which some activists estimate was costing taxpayers at least $10,000 per day. The Forest Service has refused to provide estimates of the costs involved in the raid and subsequent three-week-long 24-hour security presence. And in other Eagle Creek news, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, is seeking an immediate suspension of logging in the Eagle timber sale. Wyden has asked Agricultural Secretary Dan Glickman to stop logging in the area of National Forest until the amount of blowdown in areas already cut is determined. A blowdown is how foresters and conservationists refer to swaths of downed trees sometimes caused when logging opens up the forest to high winds. Wyden urged Glickman to cancel logging in the remaining areas if an independent assessment finds that the sales cannot be completed without risking the kind of blowdown seen so far. Wyden's office said he has not yet received a reply from Secretary Glickman. In 1996, Vanport Manufacturing of Boring bid $10.5 million to log 1,000 acres in the Eagle Creek area. Since then, Vanport President Adolf Hertig has expressed concerns to the Forest Service about the amount of blowdown that occurred in the area logged in 1997. Vanport has logged about 40% of the areas under contract. The remaining logging has been thwarted by protesters in tarp-covered forts 150 foot high in trees and in mesh pods suspended over gates blocking two logging roads. Anyway, we'll be back with more forest news after a short break for some poetry. Poetry, did you say? Well, I do say that I do poetry on this show, but we haven't had much for so far, but Uncle Dennis has been hard at work with his birthday present and produced the following recording off of Uncle Dennis's Earth First CD number 2. This one is by Gnome. Gnome is an activist out of Austin, Texas, and other places, And here's his poetry called Dave Foreman in Disguise.
It's me and Peg were talking or maybe joking or something that this rendezvous is pretty close to where Dave Foreman lives. So maybe he's here. Maybe it was just joking, though, but I know that he is here. He's just in disguise. So this is called Dave Foreman in Disguise. I was hiking through these mountains around the rendezvous, thinking of all who've come and gone. What's there left to do? There's 20 years of history suddenly behind us, since five bold men in cowboy hats had long ago defined us. When I caught the scent of cigar smoke wafting through the breeze and stumbled on a porta potty stashed amongst the trees. Beside it stood a barbecue topped with cheeseburgers and steaks. And a flask of gin and tonic, like I've heard Nancy makes. Well, I felt nature calling. Ahem. I opened the door and had to gag. There I found Dave Foreman taking a dump beneath the American flag. Foreman jumped in shock at this unsolicited relation. I said, "Excuse me, Mr. Foreman, but this deserves an explanation." Well, Dave said, "Rendezvous so close to home, and I was on the edge of tears. I miss you all sometimes, it's been too many years. Though I wake up scared at night, Earth first still feels appealing. I had to come to cleanse my soul, I had to come for healing." I asked Dave what he thought about this movement's reaction, but Foreman said, "Hush, hush, gnome. This visit's called a covert action. Don't tell." I pondered what that meant, then I couldn't believe my eyes. Foreman donned a skirt and tie-dye as part of his disguise. He put patchouli in his underarms and wore a t-shirt of the death, then put a wig of dreadlocks above his balding head. Dave said, "They'll never know," and made me promise not to tell. "We'll be hanging out in next year's rendezvous as well." Well, the light was getting dimmer, and the mosquitoes started stinging. Foreman headed off to the campfire to join along with Daryl singing. So when there's a hippie talking next to you, don't listen to his lies. Just whisper in his ear, "Hey, you're Dave Foreman in disguise."
And Earth First Radio will be right back.